Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the National Auld E.N. Payments call. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone keypad. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. Tuesday, October the 27th, 2015. I would now like to turn the conference over to Janet Cousin. Go ahead, Janet.
Thank you, Therese, and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Ticket to Work program, All In Payments call. We thank you again for joining us today, and we do hope that we continue to add value and provide a clearer understanding of the many intricacies of the payment processes for the Ticket to Work program. This is your opportunity to learn and understand more details of our payments processes and ask any questions that you may have. So again, what we will be doing at the end of the call is opening up the call for questions. But we do have the information for our online webinar details. Hope you've logged in and joined us. The presentation will be shared via this web link that's provided here. And the presentation will be posted on our YourTicketToWork.com website in the events archive section. Joining me today is Deborah Tennessee, the Ticket Operations Manager, as well as Sean Walcott, one of our payment supervisors. We also have Katie Strivinger from the Social Security Administration team online with us. Our chat room is available for your online questions, and we'll be answering those as they come about. Any questions that we're not able to answer, we'll certainly follow up with you after the call. All right, so let's get started with our presentation for today. There's a couple of key things that we'd like to cover with you. First, we'll probably plan every month to take a few minutes to review some of the ticket portal tips and tricks. We have a few items for you that were covered in your orientation sessions. All of the information is referenced in the portal user guide, but we do want to remind you of some of those key features that can help you in managing your business. And then secondly, we thought it'd be helpful for you to see how we did for the fiscal year. So we're going to share some end-of-year stats with you related to the payments process, our denials, our accuracy rates, and some information about our help desk. All right, so tips and trick number one. The new ticket portal does provide some checks online as you submit your payment request. So here, when you submit your payment request, the system will check to see if there are sufficient earnings in the various SSA systems each time that payment request is initiated. If there are sufficient earnings, then you'll receive a message as indicated in the second screenshot here, indicating that TWP earnings have already been established for the claim month that you submitted. And you do not need to provide any evidence at all when you receive that message. You simply click submit and continue. The work case is generated, and our payments processing team will use the earnings that are already referenced in SSA system to process your payment request. And however, if earnings at SGA or above were not found for the claim month, then you'll receive the first message referenced here indicating that you must provide earnings evidence. So earnings have not yet been established for the claim month. In this case, you should click yes to add earnings, enter in your earnings evidence details, and then prepare the fact cover sheet and submit the evidence to be associated with your work case. There are several other messages that you might receive when you submit your payment request process. So it's real important to take a look at this important information box. But the key tip here is that if you're not sure whether you have earnings in our system or there are earnings in our system already, you can go here, submit your payment request, look for this message saying that TWP earnings have already been established for the claim month, and go ahead and submit that payment request without having to include your evidence. Again, with our ePay process running on an automated basis to check for payments, you have the option to wait for that process to complete and generate payments for you. However, you have the option to come through the ticket portal and submit your payment request. And with this messaging here, you'll know if you need to provide that evidence or if earnings have already been established in our system. All right, so our second tip and trick of the day is associated with generating an additional fax cover sheet. So again, here through the ticket portal, when you're looking at your pending payments for me screen, there is an actions tab there. And this is a nice feature because if you forgot to include a document when you faxed in your initial images, or if you have received a notice from us indicating that you need to provide additional information, you can go through the portal here to the Pending Payments for Me screen, click on the Actions tab associated with that work case. You'll see this More Actions screen here, and then you can choose Fax Additional Information, which is the third option. And when you click on that option, you'll see the second screen below where it asks you to select a document type that you're going to send in. Let's say you make the pay stub selection. You have the option to add a note, as you normally do when you're submitting your payment request. And then it'll take you to the screen to generate your fax cover sheet and submit your documents. Again, as a reminder, we want to make sure that when you do fax in those documents, that the barcoded fax cover sheet that's generated is the first page of your fax transmission. This is very important. You do not need to include a business cover sheet, and if you do, it'll misroute your fax. So that's tip number two. Our third tip of the day is associated with the Show Fax Status feature. That also was added back in June with our first release post-production. It gives you the ability to check the status of your fax and verify that we did receive it, or if you don't remember which ones you sent in, you can verify here if we've not received it yet. So what you'll do, again, from that More Action screen, the fourth option is Show Fax Status. And once you make that selection, you'll see the second screen down below, and it will provide you with the details of the fax cover sheet that was generated, the name of the person who requested the fax, and if we received it, the receipt date will have that date of receipt listed there. If it's blank, then you know you need to send that in. We have not received it as of this time. All right, so the next tip for the day is associated with your payment status. So here is a screenshot of the main menu of the portal. Within the payment section, there's two options that you have available: the View Payments Already Made to Me and the View All Pending Payments for Me. Now, the first option there, Already Made to Me, are those that have been closed and processed in some manner. So this will include all of the paid claims as well as any denied requests that you've submitted. Your second option is those pending payments. They're still in some type of open status and being worked. So again, these are all payment requests that have not been sent to the Treasury yet. We may be waiting for information from you to get back with us. both of these status reports do have a nice download feature. If you have a large amount of requests that you want to review, if you want to change the sort order or eliminate some of the data that is being displayed on the screen, you have that flexibility to download the entire list and then massage it in whichever way is best for you. One thing to be aware of is each of the columns in this screen allow you to resort the list. And then there's other options here with some help screens to provide more information. And in the case of the pending payments for me, you have a list of diary codes, so you can view those diary codes. And again, the actions tab on the far right will take you to the more actions menu that we reviewed previously. And one of the other options there is to review the diary details for those pending payments that have a Y under the diaries column. So be sure to utilize all of the options and features on your status reports that are available to you here. All right, so we had four tips and tricks for you this month. Again, we hope that that was helpful information. The presentation will be posted online for you to refer back to those details. Let's transition to our fiscal year-end stats and review. Again, we're going to look at some payments information. We'll look at your denials or the total denials we've processed for the year, how we did with our accuracy rates, and then some help desk stats. All right, so everyone should know that our performance goal in processing the payment requests that you submit to us is to ensure that all claims are processed within 30 days of receipt. So this means that we are processing them as either paid, denied, or we're placing them in a diary status where we need some additional information from you, and we will send what we call an outreach message to you, and that's to the email address that we have on file for you, so it's important to keep that information current and up to date, requesting that information. So how did we do in meeting this performance goal? As you can see, there are many payment requests that we have processed on the same day. So that's 17% of all claims we are able to and have processed in one day. 5 days, that's at 28%. And then 85% of all requests that we've received were processed within 10 days. So we do meet our 30-day goal 100% of the time, but it is great to see that we've met the goal 85% of the time within 10 days of submission. Now, some key contributors to our success here is the automation of the portal. It's a lot more streamlined for you when submitting your payment request. There are some required fields that minimize the error rate that we had previously in receiving incomplete payment requests. So it's been very helpful in allowing us to receive more accurate and complete claims and turn those around faster to provide a response to you and meet this 30-day performance goal. Okay, there we go. All right, so let's take a little more closer look at the numbers. So the total number of payment requests that we processed this fiscal year were more than 121,000 requests. Of those, 77,900 plus were paid. that equates to more than $49 million in payments. How well did we do with processing those requests? Well, our accuracy rate for the year was more than 97%, which is what we want. This is a very complex process. There's a lot of detailed requirements. Again, the intricacies required by Social Security Administration for this program. Getting above 90% here at 97% for the year. Again, of those paid claims, 93 of those were identified as having some type of payment error. So we do our best to review and process those correctly the first time, but this is a very good percentage for the entire year. Looking at the total denials, we just had just over 30,000, well, 30,918. And then when you compare the two, 72% of all of the claims that were processed were paid, and 28% of those were denied.
This is Deborah Tennessee. I hope you all can hear me because we have a fan in the background. We have some other categories for payments as well. We had over 121,000. If you were to add together the 30,918 and the 70-some thousand payments, you would not get 121,000. So I just want to tell you what the rest of those were. Those were requests that we were unable to process. When we say unable to process, these were from e-pay processes that we were not able to pay, but we don't create payment denials for our e-pay processes. And I'm not just talking about the e-pay process that we implemented in August. I'm talking about the e-pay processes that we had throughout the year, whether it was UAP, we did have payment denials, but we had VREN e-pay, WIB e-pay, and NICE e-pay. For those e-pay processes, if we were unable to make a payment, we did not create a payment denial. However, we did identify cases that we were not able to pay because we did take the time to assess those claims and we wanted our level of effort to be captured. So does the percentage that Janet just gave you was the total percentage of adding together the 30,918 plus the 77,940 payments. If we look at the denials and payments together of those two numbers, 72% of denials and payments, if we added those two figures together, the ratio, we had 72% in payments and 28% in denials, and that total of the two would have been almost 109,000 claims.
Great. Thanks for that clarification, Deborah. For those mathematicians on the line that would have done that calculation in their head. So the clarification here. But again, it was a busy year, again, we did our best to process as many claims as we can with an appropriate accuracy rate. All right, so let's take a closer look at the denials. Why would we deny the claims, and what types of denial reasons were part of that metric? And then, what things can you do to minimize the number of denials? So number one, there's really two different types of denial reasons that we are going to discuss here. The first one, these are program-related denials. They're systematic things that you may not have any control over as an EN. And 74% of all denials are part of this category. So we have beneficiary payment status changes that doesn't allow you to receive a payment that you may think that you have available to you, but you may not be aware that the beneficiary's status changed. Look back earnings, again, those are earnings that occurred prior to assignment. Successful VR closures, you may have reached the maximum number of phase two or outcomes, and you're trying to request an additional one. So those are things that you may not be aware of, but it is a valid reason for denial. The second category are things that you should have some type of control over, and you can work to prevent these denials by considering the following. So the first one here is that the earnings do not meet the criteria. So understanding what the earnings criteria is for each payment level is important. You may submit a duplicate request, and that is a request that's already been paid. So for you portal users, you do have a nice feature in the list beneficiaries assigned to me screen or formerly assigned to me where you can click on the actions tab and look at the payment history for that particular ticket holder. You can review that before submitting your request and eliminate these duplicate requests being submitted. Similarly, insufficient documentation. So again, if you're submitting earnings evidence, just make sure that you're providing the appropriate documentation to meet that payment request. The fourth one here is that we have sent an outreach to you asking for you to submit additional documentation or clarification to support the information that you sent to us, and we never receive a response. There is a 9-day diary period. And once we pass that diary period, and we typically send multiple outreach requests before denying the request, but there is a cutoff there, and it's important to pay attention to those outreach requests we send for documentation and respond quickly. The next here is that there is a premature submission of your payment request. So a key thing to remember here is that you cannot submit a payment request until the month after the ticket was assigned. We do receive requests for the same month as the ticket assignment month. So that remembering that is important and you can avoid this denial reason. And the last one here is that the claim is for the wrong payment method. So if you signed up for outcome-only payment method and you're attempting to submit a milestone payment request, then certainly that request will be denied. A lot of these things are from earlier in the year prior to the ticket portal. The ticket portal does have some built-in functionality to prevent some of these scenarios, but for those of you that are still submitting your payment request manually to the Maximus fax line, then you know, these are some reasons why you may receive denials that you can control if you manage and monitor the payment history for your ticket holders. All right, so our payments help desk is an important piece of the level of support that we provide to you. So we wanted to share some information on our help desk and our performance for the year. First of all, in terms of the types of inquiries that we've received, there were more than 3,400 phone calls that we received during our Monday through Friday 9-to-5 coverage. Emails, we had close to 6,000 emails that we've received, reviewed, replied to, provided information on. And of those emails, many of the types of responses are outlined here. 46% of the time, we are responding directly to individuals who submitted inquiries to us. Many times we are sending those outreach requests for missing documents and information that's managed through our help desk team. We also at times will take your inquiries and pass them on to the payments supervisor staff to provide additional clarification or to review the request again to consider whether it may need to be reprocessed. We also have a QA team of specialists that we partner with when we may need to escalate inquiries or special scenarios too. And so we track how often we need to do that. And then occasionally we have non-payment related calls that come to us, and that's a very small percentage of the total. Okay, so that's it. I hope that information was helpful for you, provide some details and perspective on the level of support we provide and the volume of work that we've processed for the fiscal year 15. We're excited about the start of the new year and looking forward to continuing to provide support to you. What we'd like to do now is open up our lines for any questions that you may have, and we'll check to see if there are questions on the chat line. There is a question on the chat line that we'd like to go ahead and address first.
Okay. This is Deborah Tennessee. I will be here for about two more minutes, but I do want to respond to this question. Someone asked the question, and probably all of you are interested in the answer to this question, as far as when are we going to run the next e-pay file. Well, we have an answer to that, but let me tell you why there was a delay in this run. SSA was all ready to run the next e-pay file when they got word that there was a new quarterly earnings file that was coming in. So they waited a few days for this earnings file to come in. This is what you used to call the Cuber file. So it has updated earnings information, and quite a few employers have updated their earnings information through the second calendar quarter of 2015, which translates into more payments for you. So what SSA decided to do was to wait for that file. They're performing an assessment of that quarterly earnings file, and they've informed us in the chat that we can, let me see, what were the exact words here as far as we should be back to making payments on the e-pay file by the end of next week. So it looks as though their assessment of these earnings are going well, and they have to upload that information into our e-pay file. And again, what this means for you is that we will be able to make more payments for you because we have more updated earnings information. Again, this is through the second quarter of 2015, and that's earnings from April through June.
Great. Thanks for that response, Deborah, and providing that update on ePay. That is another important process that we manage here for the project, and an important update. So, Teresa, if you can open up the lines, let's see if we have any additional audio questions.
Sure. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, you may do so by pressing star 1. Star 1 is for any questions or comments you may have. And there are some questions compiling. Please hold one moment while I get our questions in order. And our first question comes from Elise Macy.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi, Elise.
Hey, I just want to say thanks to all the staff that work, the EN desk, because they're always so very helpful, and they really take time to explain things. And I just want to say, thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, awesome, Elise. Thank you for taking the time to share that feedback. We do appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Your next question comes from Adrian Wicker.
Hi. I had a quick question about the denials. When you're looking at the number of denials, is that also taken into account when, like, for example, if I submit a payment on somebody that I know has a successful doors case closure, and I go ahead and submit a phase two payment, the portal automatically denies them for phase one payment. Is it including those four denials in that count?
Yes, it does. Let me tell you what happened with that. Again, I said I was going to leave in 2 minutes. Well, I'll stay another 2 minutes. What happens is when you submit any payment request for, or not, but if there are phase one milestones that we're looking at every possible payment we can make you. But if we, in doing that assessment, if we determine there are some payments which we considered unavailable. Unavailable means you cannot get a payment at all, even at reconciliation. And those are phase one milestones. And it's two situations that exist where phase one milestones are unavailable, you will never get. One is from a successful VR closure, and the other is if they're look-back earnings for a particular phase one milestone. When we determine that that situation exists, we have to immediately create denials for those unavailable phase one milestones. And let me tell you why we do this. When we make those denials in a system here, there are certain codes that are associated with phase one milestones that are unavailable. Those phase one milestones that have unavailable codes, when it's time for you to get a reconciliation payment, and that would happen after outcome 12, is paid to you, the system automatically does a determination on the value of your reconciliation payment. Now, if any milestones are unavailable, that means that you should never get those. The way the system knows not to pay you those phase one milestones is for those codes that are created for phase one milestones that are unavailable. So when the system sees those codes, it will not include those values in your reconciliation payment because that would mean it would be an overpayment. So we have to create those denials to alert the systems not to include those monies in your reconciliation payments. And again, yes, those denials are included in that $30,000.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you for that question, Adrian, and thanks, Deborah, for your response.
Thank you. And your next question comes from David Huff.
Hi. I am providing technical support to a number of ENs that are workforce, that are American Job Centers through the U.S. Department of Labor Disability Employment Initiative. And we continue to have ongoing payment issues. And unfortunately, I actually had asked a couple of them to be on the call today, and they were tied up at a conference. But one issue is they will well, first off, they're all supposed to be on auto pay. They're all on auto pay, as you know, American Job Center. They're on auto pay, but they'll like call. They'll call the payment desk, and then they'll say, "Well, you know, for people they've known have been working for you know well over 6 to 8 to 10 months, or maybe even a year," and then the response they get is, "Well, you need to provide us verification of earnings, and send us you know pay stubs." It's as if they're whoever is on the other end does not understand that they're an American Job Center, even though when they explain that, they don't seem to be aware that American Job Centers are on auto pay. The second issue, which I apologize because I cannot, I'm not the one doing the actual inquiries, but they have had some ongoing issues in terms of where they, you know, again, they're supposed to be on auto pay where the payments are going to come automatically, and yet they're finding that they generally are not getting a lot of their payments unless they do a payment inquiry. And I was under the impression that when it was under auto pay, they would not have to do a payment inquiry for everybody in order to receive a payment. So I would appreciate if somebody could address both of those issues.
Sure. This is Janet, and I can give you an initial response, and Katie, if you'd like to add anything to that. So one thing just to clarify, David, related to the new ePay process that was initiated for the first time in August of this year. Prior to this extended ePay process, we had four separate individual automatic payment process two for the EN community and two in the VR community. So the workforce auto pay process that you're referring to was part of that prior processing with automatic payments being generated. The new ePay process that was initiated replaced all of those former processes. So the update that Deborah provided is applicable to the process you're referring to. where you were used to automatic payments at a certain frequency. As we've transitioned into the new extended e-pay process, the intent long-term is to run this process on a regular basis. Monthly was discussed, even potentially automating it more further. But as the transition has occurred, the initial process, it being the first and combined, it took longer for us to complete, and there were a lot more payments than typical because it was looking back at some historical payments that were still outstanding for some areas. So going forward, again, we have not run the next e-pay process as of yet. So August was the last one. It was completed in the early part of September because it took a little more than about close to 4 weeks to complete. And now here we are in October. So we have not processed the next e-pay run yet. Based on and because of the information that Deborah shared, where there's new quarterly earnings data that SSA is wanting to incorporate and ensure that we process as many payments as possible. So in your case, that's the reason for your delay in the auto pay process that you were familiar with previously. So as that process is fine-tuned and we resume processing, you will see those payments flow and included in the next e-pay run is my guess. Again, not being familiar specifically with your scenario, but the auto pay process that you're referring to was transitioned into the new e-pay process. And so there are two options, however, for everyone. You can wait until this e-pay process is run again, and we identify earnings evidence that are available, and we generate work cases, and we make the payments as appropriate, or as mentioned, if there's some denials that we'll be reviewing. Or you have the option to log into the portal and submit a payment request identifying the ticket holder information, the SSN, the claim month, the payment type, and submit it through the ticket portal. See if the system identifies earnings in the various SSA database sources and gives you a message that says earnings have already been established and verified or identified, and it will allow you to submit a payment request without providing evidence.
Yeah, that's what they've been doing. That's what they've been doing. Yeah.
So that's why, you know, there's been some delay and you're receiving the auto payments as you were familiar with previously. But there is this option where you can submit them and receive the payment processing through the portal submission process. So again, we apologize for that delay, but again, you know, it is going to be beneficial in the long term, and the reason why SSA decided to wait for the updated quarterly earnings file to ensure that when we do process the next run, it's more complete and more accurate.
Okay, thank you. I mean, the question, I guess, is do you feel confident that, I mean, long term, I mean, do you feel like this e-pay will happen to the point where they will, you know, and we all recognize that there's going to be a lag in the payments, a significant lag in the payments, but that they can have confidence that they don't need to keep doing the inquiries? Is that kind of going to give them some assurance on that?
Well, you know, again, in partnership with SSA, we're certainly fine-tuning the process since the initial run, and with the goal of developing an efficient and smooth process that can be run on a more regular basis. Katie, do you have any additional comments?
I'm just going to echo what you were saying, that we are trying to make this file as best as we can going forward. This will be the second time that we run it, and we're hoping this time we catch more cases than we did the time before, and we are dedicated to making this a process that works for everyone, so you can feel confident that you don't need to submit payment requests if, you know, you can accept the time lag. So, yes, going forward, we definitely expect this to cover everyone and to benefit everyone. But it's, you know, there are earnings that you are seeing that you have proof of and that you did not get a payment for, then the only recourse is for you to call and send a payment request.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, David. Great question.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Linda Patino.
Hi. How are you?
Great. How are you doing?
Good. Listen, I have a question. It's actually, it was kind of discussed in the chat about coding. There was a question about the a code coming up 27 when an individual has been in a payment status that you're billing, you're requesting payments on, and yet then it gets changed. And that one wasn't directly something that I was affected by. I know that Ian that was having those issues. But I did want to bring this up because it is very important. Coding, if we've had, for instance, someone that was SSI, we were billing on them because of keeping them on their job. They're still, we're actually sending in earnings verification. And for some reason, because of other factors, now that, especially with SSI, the individual's been working, sometimes they put money aside, which we kind of advise them how, you know, to, you know, pay bills with that money, but sometimes they'll put it in the bank, and then they get, they have too much on the assets, which then will change the coding and affect our payments. Is there any process that Ian's can take when they know we're supposed to be paid on someone because they are working and there's a different situation that comes up based on the fact that they may be over assets due to the work? What do we do?
Right. Good question. I was just reviewing the chat to see that discussion, and yeah, there's a lot of good details there on clarification of when that code occurs. You know, the processing time that the field office and the SSA administrative teams take to update the system and the records with these can vary. And we have no control over or, you know, visibility really to how long that takes. What we can do is certainly, you know, what you can do is again, to encourage your ticket holders to, you know, report information as quickly and accurately as you can, and to the field office or through the mechanisms that are available to them, the toll-free number, et cetera, and, you know, and the SSA teams that manage that information will update those as quickly as possible. But we have seen some delays where, you know, the status is cash benefit status, and then it changes, and then it may change back in a month or two. Katie, is there any additional input or suggestions for the ENs in regards to this scenario?
I'm afraid I don't have anything because of my lack of experience in that era, but we can certainly take this back to others at SSA and ask if there are anything else we can recommend at this time.
Yeah, because it would be good to have some steps just in case we notice that there is a change or there, you know, it affects the payments for an EN, even though you know they're still working. And there's other factors there. So when that is the case, we just need to know who would we talk to. Would it be best just to talk to the field office, or would it be best to contact our ENSB to handle that situation? That's what we need to know.
Yeah.
This is from Social Security. It would be best to go right to the field office because they're the only ones that can process those earnings.
So can they change those codings if they were incorrect?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That was my question.
Great, Linda. Thanks for that question. It does come up from time to time. Again, you guys encouraging your beneficiaries to work through their local field office to ensure that their information is as current and accurate as possible, so that you can minimize when this scenario occurs.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Sylvester Askin.
Hello.
I have a couple of people who I know work in the month of July and August, and I've been unable to get pay stubs from them. When I've gone into the portal to try and see if their earnings have been verified yet, they haven't been. Do we have any idea how long after earnings are made before that shows up in the portal system?
Yeah, so it varies. There are various sources, systems that SSA relies on for, that the system looks at for earnings data.
Uh-huh.
As mentioned earlier in the call, there's quarterly earnings information, and what we recently found out was there was an updated report.
Right.
That include second calendar data, which is just through June. So if you're looking for July and August information, you know, another source for you might be that third party's the work number to see if they have captured any earnings information. That's a subscription service you'll have to subscribe to, but it is a valid form of evidentiary evidence that we can accept. So if you're not able to get those specific stubs, and our system is not recognizing any earnings or identifying any earnings, the work number may be another resource for you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sylvester.
Thank you. And at this time, there are no further questions, but I would like to remind everyone, if you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you may do so by pressing star one at this time.
Okay, great. Well, at this point, then, we do have an additional question in the chat that Sean's going to present for us.
We do. It's from Mai, and she wants to know, what can we do with a beneficiary who worked and made SGA for us to submit payment requests, but she was not able to submit her stubs to us? All she was able to do is give us pages of her earnings with no gross amount shows.
Okay. So there are other forms that we have available that you can download from the yourtickettowork.com website under the Information Center tab forms section. The employer prepared earnings statements and the supplemental earnings statements are two documents that you would complete with the required information, so the start and end pay periods, the pay date, the gross earnings amount, and any withholdings that you have available or documented. The employer prepared earnings statement does require a signature from the employer. The supplemental earnings statement requires signature from the EN. So if you don't have stubs with all of that information available, you can supplement our earnings information by including one of those documents. That's an option that some ENs use. It's helpful for us when you submit your documents and in your fax cover sheet that you include the information you do have. So that list of earnings I don't remember if she said it was a spreadsheet or a printout of the raw earnings that's not a stub. If you can include that with the employer prepared earnings statement, that would be helpful for the payment specialist who's reviewing your request. Was there an additional follow-up to that, Sean?
We do have an additional question. It's from Miraj Patel.
Miraj is not an EN, so we'll move on to that one. Do we have any additional callers on the line, Therese?
No, ma'am, not at this time.
Okay, great. Well, then... We're going to wrap up the call for today. Again, we thank you for joining us. We hope this information was helpful for you. We do look forward to having you join us next month. And if you have any suggestions for topics or other information you'd like us to share during this forum, please contact our EN Payments Help Desk. You can either send an email message to them at EN Payments Help Desk at yourtickettowork.com or give us a call, and they'll pass it on to us to incorporate in our agenda. I do want to make you aware that for the next 2 months, our monthly calls will be on other dates instead of the last Tuesday of every month as we normally do. With the Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays, we make adjustments to accommodate that. So in November, you'll receive a reminder that our next call is going to be on November 17th. And then in December, we'll have our monthly call on December 15th. So, again, we're making adjustments for the holidays. So, again, we look forward to having you joining us for our next call, and we hope you have a great afternoon.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining today's conference. Thank you for your participation. That does conclude the conference. You may now disconnect.